Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Poore. My guest today is Alan Collins, and he's going to talk about the latest developments in the student loan debt crisis and Joe Biden. Well, hi, Alan. It looks as if Joe Biden took student loan debt off the table. What was your reaction when you saw that?
Well, you know, before the election, Joe Biden was making some really incredible promises. He said that he would eliminate student loan debt for people who went to a public college or an HBCU and earned less than $125,000 a year. At another point before the election, he said he would cancel $10,000 across the board. However, after the election, suddenly Joe Biden was saying, I won't be doing that, or I don't have the power to do that. So people have been extraordinarily disappointed in him. And it only seems to be getting worse at this point. In the infrastructure bill, and this is maybe slightly different, but in the infrastructure bill, he took funding to provide free community college out of that bill, and he also won't be including student loan cancellation in the presidential budget. So that's Joe Biden is disappointing in the extreme right now here as we speak, and I hope that will change. And something very interesting happened last week, actually, Cynthia. Richard Cordray, who runs the federal student loan program, said before Congress that they were working actively on a change in how they handled student loan borrowers in bankruptcy proceedings. So right now, it's essentially impossible to get your loans discharged in bankruptcy because you have to go through what's called an adversarial proceeding and prove the standard they call undue hardship, which is essentially impossible to prove for most people. But last Wednesday, Richard Cordray went before Congress and said that they're going to be taking a very hard look at that. And I think and I hope that what that means is that the department may stop opposing student loan borrowers on federal student loans in bankruptcy court. So if that is true, then this adversarial proceeding sort of goes away because there's no adversary to show up to fight it. So if federal student loan borrowers are no longer being opposed in bankruptcy court, then that makes discharge of the loans, at least technically, about the same as it would be for all other loans. So that's really significant if it happens, Cynthia, and we hope very much that it will, because at this point in Biden's presidency, I mean, he is just cratering. This was a very strong campaign promise that he made, not only to cancel student loans, but I should probably also add that he endorsed Elizabeth Warren's bankruptcy pledge, which included returning bankruptcy by executive order, which is what I think and hope Richard Cordray was alluding to last week. So hopefully the next month will be very interesting. And maybe for the benefit of your listeners, I should probably back up a minute and say that we're fighting for student loan cancellation. We think that has to happen. But as a political reality, I don't think we're going to see meaningful student loan cancellation unless and until we get the threat of bankruptcy back on our side. So, we've been fighting for bankruptcy for 16 years now, and there's a very good reason for it. And even still today, with all this talk about loan cancellation, I think it really comes down to getting our bankruptcy rights back. I think that's sort of has to happen if we're going to ultimately see meaningful loan cancellation.
So if bankruptcy protection is instituted, is your job completed?
Well, I would hope so, quite frankly. I would say yes. I think that this problem, the first domino that needs to be knocked down in order to actually solve this problem is, making student loans the same as all other loans in bankruptcy court. So this executive order potentially will make that happen. However, we also need to get Congress to return bankruptcy more formally and as a matter of law, because who's to say what the next president might do. So right now we've got a really good bill in the Senate. It's called S-2598. Dick Durbin is the sponsor, but the bill also has two Republican co-sponsors, like John Cornyn out of Texas and Josh Hawley out of Missouri. So I would say that our job would be basically complete if we can get this bill, S-2598, passed. It'll return bankruptcy protections to federal student loans, and there's another bill, H.R. 4907, in the House. That's Representative Steve Cohen out of Tennessee, and that will return bankruptcy to private student loans. So if we could get both of those bills passed, I would like to say, knock on wood, that our mission would be largely complete at that point. We'll still fight for the cancellation of all federal student loans by executive order, but I think that becomes almost inevitable once we get bankruptcy returned. So we'll see.
Okay.
And, yep.
You and I have talked many, many times, and we talk about a figure of 46 million Americans that have student debt. It's not going to be 46 million people claiming bankruptcy. That doesn't seem within the realm of possibility for me. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. In an average year, fewer than 1 million people file for bankruptcy for any reason. So even a maybe more moderate spike in the number of filings, I don't think 46 million people would run out and file. But before this pandemic, something like 38 or maybe even 40 million of those 46 million people, they were in deep distress over their student loans. They were either unable to pay, and that's about half, or they were paying and paying, but their loan balances were going up. So the possibility of tens of millions of people rushing to file for bankruptcy is a very real one. However, and this is why it's so important to get this constitutional right back, I would think and hope that with the return of bankruptcy protections to the loans, Joe Biden does not want to be the president who compels, 10, 15, 20 million people to file for bankruptcy, overwhelm the bankruptcy courts to the point of seizure. So that's why I say that I think we'll see meaningful student loan cancellation across the board. And just in a myriad of other ways, Cynthia, we'll see the lending system all of a sudden drastically improve with how they treat the borrowers. Because right now, without bankruptcy protections, they're basically given a license to steal. They can abuse the borrowers and do horrible things and turn, $10,000 loans into $100,000 loans, which they do, believe it or not. That's not an exaggeration. But there's all sorts of abuses that happen in the absence of bankruptcy. So getting this constitutional right back is just so, so important. And
people who have student loans, who faithfully pay every month, and they don't see the balance go down. I can't understand why there's not a huge, fight in this country where people are up in arms. How could people pay and pay and see their balance go up? That sounds like a pretty infuriating situation for me.
Well, it is. And believe me, there's a lot of really pissed off people out in the country. I think the unique thing about, the thing about debt generally is that it's sort of a personal issue and people you know, you have to be very careful about how mad you can get at your lender, because if they hold your loan, you know, they can do all kinds of terrible things. And so, you know, debt is a very effective way to keep people silent and keep people sort of under the thumb. But even more specifically with student loan debt, you know, this is a debt that is held largely by the federal government. And they've got massive powers of collection and other powers that make people even more reluctant to stand up and speak out. But I think that's changing, Cynthia, because there's only so much that people can take. And I think this pandemic has really exposed and sort of had a real effect on the population, where I think people just broadly now understand that there's something just deeply wrong with these loans. And that, to be blunt about it, as a citizenry, we don't have to put up with this. You know, the founding fathers called for uniform bankruptcy laws ahead of the power to declare war, ahead of the power to raise an army. And wow, this has been taken uniquely away from student loans. And, you know, I think push is finally coming to shove. And, you know, it's not that people are going to choose not to pay, but rather if and when they turn this lending system back on, and quite frankly, I don't think they should, but if they do come February 1st, almost nobody is going to resume paying their loans. It's just not going to happen. You know, before the pandemic, about half of everyone was not able to pay on their loans. Today, during the pandemic, almost no one is paying on their loans. And if even 25% of the people resume paying their loans come February 1st, I think that would be surprising, quite frankly. I think it'll be less than that. So this lending system is done, Cynthia. It's toast by all rational metrics. And, you know, I can only hope that people, that reporters and news organizations out there who are looking at the very same data that I'm looking at and telling you about, they should at least privately come to the very same conclusion that I have, and that is that this lending system is dead. It's a dead man walking. There's no saving it by all rational metrics. And I hope that these reporters and news organizations start saying that, you know. The truth is important here, and I know reporters don't want to go out on a limb and take a risk, but there is no there is no scenario that I can foresee where this lending system can continue. It's just, you know, I think it's vanishing into a mist of illegitimacy, quite frankly. It's sort of evaporating before our very eyes.
You know, politicians always talk about the economy. And, you know, that, of course, was an issue in the last presidential race. So when politicians run for office talking about the economy, and there's so many people who are indebted because of their college education, that takes away from people buying houses, buying cars. How come the real estate people and the car dealerships are not screaming and hollering?
Well, that's a great question, and they should be. They absolutely should be, Cynthia. You know, we reach out to the American Association of Realtors, the U.S. and local chambers of commerce, many other business entities. And, you know, Jamie Dimon, one of the most famous important bankers in the country, Bill Dudley, the former president of the New York Federal Reserve, these guys have both started sounding the alarm bells about student loan debt and how it's hurting their other lines of business. Because exactly what you just said, people are not buying homes. They're not starting businesses. So this is really having a deleterious effect on the economy. And there's no good reason for it. You know, when this lending system was first created in 1965, President Lyndon Johnson, he declared that the loans would be free of interest. Well, you know, so much for that. Today, about $100 billion a year in interest alone is being sucked out of the economy and sent to the books of Washington, D.C. And, you know, this is hurting some very conservative states, I might add, worse than most. You know, states like Georgia. Georgia's a great example. the state budget of Georgia is $48 billion, but student loan debt in Georgia is now $82 billion,
which is
getting on towards, you know, twice the size of the state budget. And whether you're a local legislator, a congressman, a senator, or a governor, that should be eye-popping to you. You know, this is becoming a state sovereignty issue, and it is just absolutely strangling the economies of states like Georgia, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, North and South Carolina, Indiana, and a few others as well. This just can't continue, Cynthia. This lending system needs to be, in very conservative words, needs to be taken to the bath and drowned in the tub. That's something that Grover Norquist says frequently, and this is precisely true. And so that's why I hope very much that what we're seeing with this bill, S-2598, which has currently more Republicans on the bill than Democrats, I hope that signals a growing trend, because really Republicans need to step up and they need to call out this big government lending monstrosity for what it is. And if nothing else, you know, freeing 45 million people so that they can buy homes and start businesses, you know, that's going to have a massive stimulative effect on the economy.
Now, Joe Biden knows that freeing up these people to buy stuff instead of paying the bankers, or the government, I should say. He knows what the scenario is, but yet he does nothing about it. Why?
You know, that's the $64,000 question, Cynthia. It makes no sense for Biden to go back on his campaign pledge to cancel loans and to fight for bankruptcy. It makes no sense at all. Until you look at the history of President Biden, you know, he was a key senator way back in 1977 when they first started messing around with bankruptcy laws for student loans. He was on the committee that passed legislation that put these special constraints on bankruptcy for student loans. And he was a key mover and shaker again in 2005 for that bankruptcy bill, which took bankruptcy protections away from private student loans. I could go on for quite a while here, Cynthia, talking about all of the, quite frankly, suspicious connections that Joe Biden has to the lending industry, and not just student loans, by the way, but certainly student loans. I think you begin to understand a little better why Joe Biden seems to need to be pushed in order for him to do anything worthwhile. So I haven't given up hope on Joe Biden, but boy, he sure has left a terrible taste in the mouths of student loan borrowers everywhere, particularly people who voted for him in the belief that he was going to do what he said and cancel student loans and fight for bankruptcy. So, but we've got hope in Biden. You know, he's a politician. He'll go which way the wind blows. And right now, and for the foreseeable future, that wind is strongly at our backs. So the next month will be really interesting. The next year will be even more interesting.
So had Bernie Sanders, had the rug not pulled out from under him and he wound up being the nominee, what would you say would be happening right now?
Well, it's really hard to predict what Bernie would have done. But certainly, if he's to be believed based on what he was saying during his campaign, I think Bernie probably would have canceled a ton of student loans by executive order by now. Bernie was a big proponent of full-on student loan cancellation. And I think that was one of the major engines behind his campaign. So it's hard to say, but you know, at least on paper, we would have much rather seen Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren as president here today. I think either of those two would have been a far sight better than what we've seen so far with President Biden.
So do you find this whole political scenario kind of absurd?
Well, I do. And, I mean, this is going back many years for us, Cynthia. In fact, all of the past two presidential elections, the only major party candidate that we were able to endorse was the Green Party. So Howie Hawkins and Jill Stein before him. You know, the politics in this country is just broken. You know, the drama intrigue, or the palace intrigue, I should say, was used as a massive distraction during the last president, Trump. And again, what we're seeing here today now is, you know, culture war type stories overwhelming everything. And this is, quite frankly, I think that's a feature, not a bug. I think the people in Washington, D.C. want no changes. And so they seize upon these cultural issues, you know, you name it, abortion, critical race theory, on and on and on. All of these social issues that don't cost the wealthy people in this country any money one way or the other, they fan the flames of those issues. Meanwhile, what I consider to be far more important issues, certainly economically important issues, like taxing the wealthy and, you know, the student loan issues, number one in my book, some of the more important issues that could cost the wealthy elite in this country money, they want nothing to do with it. So, yeah, our politics is broken, and I can only hope that everybody out there is starting to see through all the nonsense. We're a fiercely nonpartisan group, the Student Loan Justice, my group. We're a fiercely nonpartisan group, but we've got to be very aware of the politics and this partisan nonsense that we're seeing. But it's a real challenge. I'll tell you, this partisan divide is a very deep thing, and it's been used and abused to keep people fighting over cultural stuff. And, you know, ultimately, I suspect that the goal of the establishment and the wealthy people who fund them is simply to get no changes, because let's face it, they've never been in a better position in the history of this country, I think.
So when you say no change, when the wealthy want no changes, are you saying that it's okay for them to have 46 million people indebted for a college education?
Well, I think that they don't want to upset the apple cart, right? We just saw over the past 2 weeks, in order for Biden to get that infrastructure bill passed, they started yanking things, cutting things like free community college. And, you know, the for-profit colleges hate community colleges, and they have a ton of money. I mean, some of them pull down $500 million a year out of the lending system. So it's those sorts of people that are lobbying behind the scenes who, you know, they don't want their wealth threatened. And so that's what we see. And I think some of the wealthiest among us, you know, if that means that having 50 million people just completely wrecked by student loan debt is the result, I think they're okay with that. I think they can live with that. You know, going back to the founding of this country and even far before, the wealthy of many countries worked very hard to keep their citizens, you know, subdued and sort of conquered and enslaved by debt. That goes back to the days of Caesar, I think.
But, you know, subdued, that's an interesting word. There's got to be a breaking point where people are going to rise up, and I'm surprised they haven't risen up right now.
Yeah.
Right?
I couldn't agree with you more, Cynthia. You know, I think we should have done a million-person march on Washington, D.C., even, you know, 10 years ago, let's say, during Occupy Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, that's a very personal issue, and debt to the government is even more daunting these days because of the overwhelming power that the government has. You know, people are very afraid of the government, and that's a very serious and disturbing situation. You know, I think it was John Adams, or maybe it was Thomas Jefferson, who said, when the government fears the people, that's liberty. When the people fear the government,
right,
that's tyranny. And
right,
truly, this student loan nightmare is very strong evidence that we're seeing the latter of what I just said happen here. And people need to get off their butts. I like to tell people I've been fighting this fight for 16 years now. Everywhere I go, the bad guys, you know, the Sallie Mae's of the world and the for-profit colleges and everybody else that's making money off of this lending scam, they run away. They flee like cockroaches when the lights are turned on. You know, this is not a hard battle to win, but people need to show up. People need to own this problem. Realize these are their loans. This is their life. This is their battle. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, sink or swim. You got to fight this or, you know, don't fight it. Fight, not flight, I like to say. This is a great country here. And people are actually leaving the country as a result of their student loan debt. But I urge people to not do that. You know, this is our country. It's worth staying and fighting for.
So we just have about a minute left, Alan. What do you think is more crucial, the climate situation or student loans?
Well, I don't want to offend anyone out there, but there are a lot of issues like climate change, like race relations, like maybe the abortion debate, arguably, other issues that are – they are on a very much longer, larger time scale. So we've been arguing about abortion since the 70s and before, and I think that will probably continue for years or decades to come. There have been,
mm-hmm,
you know, issues about race in this country since before the Civil War, and again, that will continue into the future, of that I am sure. And so while I don't see issues competing with one another, I think people need to realize that right now the student loan problem is an extreme threat to the country. It could be solved very easily. And there is no good reason to use, you know, climate change, these other issues that are going to take, you know, potentially generations to solve. There's no good reason to let those issues be used as a distraction and a reason not to do to solve more immediate, more shorter time scale problems like the student loan problem.
So, Alan, our time is up, and I'm sure that we will talk again. You've been listening to Alan Collins, who was the founder of StudentLoanJustice.com. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is All Exits Closed. If you like this show, like us on Facebook. Have a great day. Thank you.